Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with the mayor of Morehead, Laura White Brown. Laura, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Leanne.
I do appreciate you coming in and talking with us about the city council meeting that happened earlier this week. I know that you guys had a lot of stuff to talk about during your regular meeting, and we'll get right into the public comment section. First up, a group called Harris Technology LLC came in, and they have a new idea that they're proposing for the city. Tell us a little bit about what they want to do.
They do. Mr. Harris joined us at the meeting and gave a presentation on his company, which includes scooter sharing. So it's somewhat of a new idea. It's really taken off in bigger cities and bigger communities, but it's something that he wants to bring to the Morehead area. It's actually scooters that you can rent through an app that you would download on your phone. It's $1 to unlock the scooter and then 15 cents per minute that you use it. So just another way, a lot of communities are doing bike sharing. I think that's something the university has been in discussion about also, but just another way that's efficient to travel kind of in a short distance, short area, the downtown area, Main Street, and it's also not bad for the environment.
Now, I know that Lexington recently started using these and they let them be in their regular lanes of traffic, like when we have bicycle lanes. Is that similar to what they're proposing for this?
We have to talk with our police department about that specifically. I'm not sure if the speed of the scooters is the same as the ones in Lexington. So for a while, we may need to just look at using them on sidewalks or possibly like a bike lane option as well.
Right. I know there was some concern with those. There's been a couple of injuries up there. And so people allowed them on the street. And then there was like, well, wait a minute, you know, people really need to have appropriate equipment. And
Right. Personally,
like, I don't have safety equipment that I carry around with me. So if I was going to need it for a scooter, maybe I wouldn't even use a scooter.
We talked about that option too, and the possibility of, you know, if there's a safe place to store helmets or safety equipment like that, that we could provide that as well in this option.
I know some of the bigger cities like Cincinnati has those, what are those things called? Segways?
Segways, yes.
So, and then there's like one central location where you get them and return them, and they have all the safety equipment. So, I mean, Morehead's not a big as Cincinnati, but
yeah.
I know there's a closet in Laughlin somewhere.
There is. There's definitely storage there. We'll see kind of what Mr. Harris does with the program and how it works for us.
Now, Edna Schack also came in, and she was interested in talking about pedestrian-type stuff, too. The ped walkway that's in the middle of town that links the old, well, what's now the Board of Education building to St. Clair's campus.
Right. So the interesting thing about that walkway there is that the state actually owns it. A lot of people think that the city owns it. We do not own it. We do have a maintenance contract to help with the upkeep for that. We try to keep it clean, keep it updated cosmetically as much as we can. But it is not actually a structure that the city owns. So that's the first thing that most people don't realize. Right now, the elevators are out of service. We have gotten a quote to fix that. It's not currently in our budget, but we're looking at some options to get that up and running so that it's accessible for everyone also.
Wouldn't the state have to pay for that?
My understanding is back when the pedway was built, there was an agreement that the city would cover any maintenance that was necessary on that part of it. And while we do have a maintenance contract, the piece that is not working is not covered in that contract right now. So we do pay a monthly maintenance fee to keep it updated, and this is something outside of that scope.
Yeah, I use it a lot when I'm walking, and I've noticed that the elevators are not working.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, I mean, it's a great thing to have in the city.
Absolutely.
Like to have it. I feel more comfortable using it than crossing down at the Main Street 32.
Mm-hmm. It's a big intersection, and so anytime you can kind of avoid traffic specifically, it's a good resource.
Absolutely. Jason Sloan came in to update you guys. He's the new president with the chamber, moved over from his position with the county into the chamber position, but doing a lot of the kind of similar things. He and I ran into each other at a event recently, and he kind of updated me. But tell me a little bit about what he had to tell with you guys about what's going on with the chamber.
He gave us an update on the strategic and comprehensive plan that the city and county are jointly funding. He's kind of the lead person on that project, which has been a great resource for both the city and the county. Right now, the biggest piece with the strategic plan is they have sent out a survey to anyone in the community. If you work here, if you live here, you can provide feedback so that all of that's incorporated into the plan. So if you haven't seen that survey, it's posted on lots of social media sites, the city, the county, the chamber, and then the chamber sent it out through email as well. There's 1 week left, I believe, to complete that survey. Next Friday, they're going to look at the response rate, and if we need to extend it another week, we'll do that. But call City Hall if you need information about that, or call the Chamber, Jason Sloan. They can provide you with how to fill out that survey.
Now, this is something that kind of evaluates what's important to the people who live here.
Absolutely, yes. And so from that information, there will be focus groups who kind of guide the firm, which is Thomas P. Miller and Associates, who is doing this strategic plan for us.
It seems like there's been some talk in the past about, bringing people in and tourism and that sort of thing. But this really focuses on the people who are here.
Right.
And what the people who live here, and not only live here, but also work here. Because we do have a lot of people, specifically at the university and at the hospital, which are the biggest employers in the county. Those two employers definitely have a lot of people who come in from other places. And what's happening here is also important to those people.
Right.
They utilize the facilities that we have here.
Exactly. Everyone's feedback is really valued. And this is a 20-year plan. So what we'd like to see happen in the community in the next 20 years really will provide us with good opportunity and options. So we really want to hear what people have to say.
Speaking of facilities within our community, the Laughlin update, I recently attended the craft show that's been going on for 35 years now. I was talking with my mom, and I think that's something that we've done probably half of those years, because we've been coming to that craft show, it seems like, forever. And a lot of local vendors, a lot of people. It was very crowded when I was there. And I, of course, a really enjoyable thing. But do you know how many people ended up attending that event?
They estimated around 1,600, a little over 1,600, paid for admittance into that event. There were 106 vendors set up at the event, which is great. It was a little smaller this year because we couldn't use the Weatherby facility, so it was all in the Laughlin side of that structure. But they had a really, really great turnout. I went early. It was packed. It was packed until the very end of the day.
Yeah, it usually is. And I think I got there around 10 o'clock in the morning, and it was slow moving through a couple of the little areas that were the more popular booths, I suppose. But very enjoyable. And I guess that doesn't count the children, because the children didn't pay to get in.
Right, right. So that's just paid admittance for the adults that attended the event. There were plenty of kids there running around. My kids were enjoying it as well.
Yes.
And that event's actually sponsored by Downtown Moorhead and the Folk Art Center.
Mm-hmm.
So they manage that event, and they do a really nice job with it.
And that's something that's been in Laughlin forever, but
right.
The city and recreation, and the county and recreation department, they've got something up their sleeves. They're starting a brand new indoor soccer league for kids in the community in Laughlin.
They are. This is something that the parks director has found is really kind of a growing interest around the state. And so we have a facility here. Why not give it a go and try it? So they're advertising for that. You can see their Facebook page and for their fees and how to sign up.
Very cool. I know that a lot of little people in our community are interested in that, but as a parent, sometimes you don't want to have to sit outside for it. So I'm super excited to see indoor soccer happening.
Absolutely.
There was another, speaking of downtown Moorhead, though, there was another event that we just got done with. Hometown Holidays was also last weekend in downtown Moorhead. And although I know that you, the city doesn't technically plan it, but you guys definitely have the facilities because it's right there on Main Street. Tell me a little bit about the numbers for that event, if you even know. I know it's hard to count all those people downtown.
It is hard to count because, you know, you don't pay to go to that event, and people come in from different locations. But we did estimate that there were around 5,000 people who attended that event. And then we had over 30 locations with live entertainment. And then the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra had an incredible performance. There were almost no seats left at the Moorhead Conference Center. And I don't know if you made it, but they had a special conductor at the end, which was Santa.
Oh, I did not make it to that particular event. I had some other things that I had to take care of when the symphony was playing, but I did make it to Hometown Holidays, and it is always such a wonderful event to go down. It's like your own little Hallmark movie did there on Main Street in Moorhead, with all the people and the hot chocolate and the music coming out of all the different, the bell choir from my church played at one of the banks in town, and I love the tubas that are always at Coffee Tree Books, and the True Tones are one of my favorite groups too, because they do the barbershop quartet in the actual barbershop, and it's a small little venue, but it's always fun to go and see the different groups.
That is really neat. And you mentioned it gives a Hallmark feel. And so something that we added this year was building on a community tree lighting. We decorated the tree as a community in front of the Round County Arts Center. It was open to the public. People could bring ornaments and hang on the tree. And we provided ornaments as well. And then we lit the tree together. Judge Clark was there to help me do that. We had a great turnout. There was around 60 people who came and put ornaments on the tree. So we really appreciated that and the real hometown feel that it gives.
I saw the tree lit up yesterday as I was leaving campus, and it was pretty dark when I left, even though it was only 6 o'clock. I hate winter. But the tree was all lit up in front of the Art Center, and I was like, man, it's so pretty, and it's so nice to see Main Street decorated. It does look really nice.
It really does. And if anyone wants to add an ornament now, they're welcome to. You and your family or your friends can go put an ornament on the tree anytime.
Now, updating the Moorhead Tourism Conference Center and the Round County Arts Center, you guys did pass the second reading of that ordinance that's going to merge a city and county tourism during the meeting this week, correct?
We did. We unanimously passed the second reading of that ordinance. So following the county's next fiscal court meeting, they'll have a second reading on their agenda as well. And if that passes, the next step will be to appoint a joint board for that tourism commission.
And then we'll see some advertising for Moorhead stuff farther out. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go up to Lexington or into Cincinnati area, and there will be more money to go around, but also there will be more events, the things that happen outside city limits as well.
Absolutely. So how that will be funded is there will be a transient room tax that's collected on hotel rooms out in the county, as well as Airbnbs and rental there. And so people sometimes get confused about how, you know, tourism brings in their money, but it's not a tax directly to the people that live here. This tax is on hotel rooms specifically for people visiting our area.
Right. And there are people who are coming to our area too that it affects, through the hotels or the Airbnbs and the little cabin rentals that they have. That kind of reminds people, hey, come back to Moorhead.
It does. You know, I know we've talked about this in the past, but the Appalachian Regional Commission Leadership Institute had their first session in Moorhead, and they booked 52 out of 54 hotel rooms at the Hampton Inn. So, you know, when you can bring conferences in, it really puts back into your community.
Yeah. And I definitely want to talk about the leadership group that you're with, but first we're going to take a break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Donate your used vehicle and support WMKY at the same time. Call 855-WMKY-CAR or use the simple online form at wmky.org. You receive a tax donation, and funds from selling your vehicle support WMKY. Pickup is free. Donate your used car, motorcycle, truck, boat, or camper today. Call 855-WMKY-CAR or online at wmky.org.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're with Moorhead Mayor Laura White Brown. Laura, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking about the City of Moorhead's regular City Council meeting that happened earlier this week. You guys had a report from the Moorhead Utility Plant Board, as you do every month, but this month particularly was of interest because there was a very short, relatively speaking, water crisis that was experienced in Moorhead and Rowan County. There was a boil water advisory that was countywide and went into some other counties because they get their water from us. And let's talk a little bit about that issue.
That's one thing, too, that people don't realize is that the Moorhead Utility Plant Board provides water to 8 counties. People buy it from us. You know, we sell directly to Round Water and Bath Water, and then additional counties purchase from them. So it does have kind of an area of 8 counties that this water is directly sourced to. One thing with the boil water advisory, on the Sunday following Thanksgiving, there was quite a bit of rain that weekend. And when there is rain like that, a lot of times the water can become very cloudy and muddy, especially if you have any flooding. And there was flooding out in the farmers area. That caused some turbidity in the water. And because of that, there was a need for a boil water advisory because some of the lines got clogged. And it was what the safe thing to do was. So we were very lucky that the plant board was very involved and very attentive to the entire process. We were on a boil water advisory for several days. I think it ended on Wednesday of that following week. But the plant board, I thought, did a really excellent job of notifying people, getting information out. They did an interview with this radio. They had information on social media, on websites. We partnered with the county emergency management director, Jimmy Hampton, and he used the all-call system for people who are signed up for emergency notifications, as well as the school system did an all-call as well. And then there were some door notifications as well in certain areas of the community.
I feel like, you know, this is one of those issues. This is another flooding,
right?
Something linked to flooding, which is a problem that our community has had for quite some time. And trying to get that figured out. But the stormwater system, you know, Moorhead Utility Plant Board is now in charge of the stormwater system.
Right.
Things are happening with that, but I feel like it's kind of stalled. I haven't really heard a whole lot about it as of late.
They're working on that. A lot of times they're doing things kind of behind the scenes that you don't see. There's studies involved and planning processes with their engineers that they have. But that project is still up and moving. We'll see more of it take effect July 1 of next year. But the plant board has a lot on their plate, but they're doing a great job managing all of their projects.
Looking at the unfinished business that you guys went over throughout the meeting, one of the things was the second reading of an ordinance for annexation, and that had to do with the Hallwood property that was part of the county. It's up there close to Walmart, near where Better Life Church is, and that little section. There's like that weird hidden entrance down to the left as you're going into the Walmart entrance. So now that is officially part of the city, correct?
It is. There's kind of some paperwork that will follow up from this point, but we did pass the second reading unanimously to annex that property. My understanding is that's been 6-plus years in the work to get that property taken in. I think it's going to provide a lot of development opportunity in the future. And then it's been proposed to be zoned as an agricultural district because of the space that it is, the flat land currently. But that can change as development comes into that area.
You guys are also getting ready for the new police 911 facility and awarded a proposal for the construction manager of that project. So who is going to be in charge of building that?
We did. Pax Walker, which is a joint company between Pax Incorporated and Walker Incorporated. They have created a construction management company, and they received the bid last night for that. They had the lowest project percentage fee of the three proposals that we received. We had great proposals and great interviews with all of the companies, and so I'm looking forward to getting that up and running.
And when do you think you guys are going to be able to start actually seeing some building progress start happening?
Well, we also, right before the council meeting started this month, we received the survey, which was the last piece in finalizing the purchase of the property. So now that we have that, our engineers and the construction management team will meet and create a timeline directly with each other and start that process.
Wonderful. Now, you guys also, during your mayor's report, you talked a little bit about a new job that you'd like to see happen within the city. So tell me, what are you envisioning with this new position that you'd like to create?
The title's kind of flexible right now, but I've proposed a project coordinator or facilitator position. And what I kind of have in mind for this would be someone who really fills in where we have gaps in other areas. So someone to help keep and maintain the city website, to keep up to date all of the social media accounts. I think the city has 7 different social media pages amongst all of the different departments, but also serving as a grant writer for the city. That's something that would be very important to keep in this job description. And there's talks with the county as well that may be able to be somewhat of a joint position in that responsibility. The city and county have talked about hiring a grant writer for many years, so if we could tie that into the general responsibilities of this job, I think that would be excellent. But also a really point person for a lot of projects. So the Kentucky Wired project is still a big ongoing project. The strategic plan, having someone specifically tied to all of these in addition to the mayor and council members as well.
Also, you updated City Council on your leadership group. I said I wanted to come back to that, and I do want to get an update on that. You went to your second meeting, but that was not anywhere in Kentucky.
It was not. It was actually in Dalton, Georgia, which was a really, really phenomenal little town to visit. We spent 4 days there. The leadership group includes 40 different fellows from the Appalachian region, and then as well as a number of staff and faculty and facilitators on the project. We had a really incredible session. The entire session was focused on strategic planning and economic development, which is a very timely discussion since we're in the middle of strategic planning ourselves. Our next session is in Mississippi in 2020, so we'll be headed that direction to learn about workforce development and workforce labor needs in the Appalachian region also.
Now, we only have just a few more seconds left on the show, and I wanted to plug really quickly, you have an event that you're sponsoring that's coming up on New Year's Eve. Where can people get tickets, and what are you doing?
Yes, so this event is not sponsored by the city, but it is sponsored by some local donors and myself. And it is a New Year's Eve ball, so an event for people in Moorhead to be able to attend, have a good time in your own town, but also it will work as a fundraiser for aquatics recreation. It's something the community has really expressed they'd like to raise money for, so this will go into a community fund to work towards that type of project. You can get tickets online at eventbrite.com. You just look for the Moorhead Mayor's Ball, and they are also going to include dinner, drink tickets. There'll be live music. There will be a showing of the New Year's events at Times Square and just a lot of fun. So get your tickets and plan on ringing in the new year with all of us here in Moorhead.
And that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Laura White Brown, Mayor of Moorhead, I really appreciate you coming down and being with us today.
Thank you for having me today.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.